Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
And so here I am. I'm in studio tonight.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It's good. God is good, isn't he?
He is good. And so we've got somebody on the phone with us. It's a pretty special person. His name is Marlon Sparks. Hello, Marlon.
Hey, you are in the area?
I am. I went to church here this morning.
Hey!
I'm going to spend the night at home tonight.
Oh, man, how nice will that be?
That'll be nice.
So I know it will.
If we can make all the adjustments that we need to make it work, yeah.
That's right.
I won't even go into the details of that.
I'll bet. Yeah, okay. Pretty complicated, isn't it, to get comfy?
Yeah, you know that it's a complication in your life when you can't get a sock on one of your feet.
Yeah, that's a complication.
The things that we take for granted.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I think, well, I can just get up and walk over there. I can just do that, and all these other people are doing it, and I forget my walker.
Ooh.
Just take off. I'm not as helpless as you think on that. I'm learning to walk. And,
oh, good.
But anyway, it's a challenge.
Yeah, I know it is.
So
yeah,
how are you tonight, man?
I am just happy and all get out. We're just having a great time around here. Incredible services this morning, and the last few weeks have been just over the top, man. God is on the move. I love that song, guys. That was awesome. And it's true. Absolutely true. Love it. Good things are happening.
Well, I tell you what, we can attribute that song being on Sunday Night Live to Natalie, our co-host.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Mm-hmm. Man, she has done such a wonderful job.
She really is. Yeah, we're glad she came along.
Well, thank you guys. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you let me in.
Well, we got a web page and a Facebook page and all kinds of things going on. How about that?
Hey, that's nice, right, guys. That's a nice page. That's really, really sharp. Whoever did that, man, kudos on that. That's really, really nice.
We'll give kudos to Jim on that. He's our engineer. Sets up all that fancy stuff for us.
Yeah. Man, multi-talent.
Just so you know, I copied everything you did.
But you knew I didn't have any in there.
I didn't have any original thought on that.
Hey, I don't think there's an original thought under the sun, is there?
Well, thank you. I believe a very wise man said that in the Bible.
I believe he did.
Very wise man said that.
That brings me comfort, because I think I'm a copycat sometimes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's what my buddy told me about copyrights. He said it means the right to copy.
As an attorney told me, there's no idea so good it can't be plagiarized.
Oh, good. Woo. Man, love it.
So you guys just had a big celebration at your church a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah, it was big as an understatement. Man, it was way over the top, more than we ever fathomed. It was just so good. We had friends and past members from the past 40 years came in from all over the country. We were just overwhelmed and just overtaken by the love of the people that came in from everywhere to celebrate 40 years. It's been so funny because it was advertised as the 40th anniversary. Of course, some said, congratulations on your 40th wedding anniversary. I said, no. Then others said, congratulations on your 40th year in the ministry. I said, no. That's just 40 years at this church.
That's
so
right.
I've been married way more than 40 years, and I've been in the ministry way more than 40 years. So we were celebrating 40 years at one church.
So how long have you been married?
I was married in 1980, so what is that?
Oh, wow, you really put him on the spot.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I thought August he would 23rd. Be quicker than that.
August 23rd, 1980. Wonderful day for her.
That you'll never forget.
We'll never forget. It was a good,
So how long have you been in the ministry?
Since I was really 18 is when I really went into youth ministry, and I'm 46, dear Lord help us. I'm 66 right now, so that's been a while, about, 48 years?
Yeah.
So I was in the ministry and did. Actually, my dad was a pretty well-known preacher, preached as an evangelist for many years and pastor too. He was known throughout some areas pretty good. And so I had a kind of a inroad into ministry that when I kind of began to announce that I was going into the ministry and was doing some youth things and other meetings, they kind of opened the doors to me, and I really got a kind of a step up from riding his coattail on his shoulders, so that kind of helped launch me. But man, it was quite a beginning. Yeah. But it was a blessing, man.
So who all showed up at the big celebration?
Yeah, we had guys that have been, several guys I'd went to Bible college with that are actually still in ministry. We had Mark and Lisa Short, some of our pastor friends from Evansville, Indiana. We had Bill and Vicki Patterson. Yeah, you at least talked to them, I think, Mark.
Yeah.
And they're from Tulsa. We had Pastor Brian Bohr from Shreveport, Louisiana. And Ken and Pat Willard used to be in Liberal, Kansas at Christian Life Center, and then moved to Colorado Springs, where they were with Pastor Mark Cowart at Church for All Nations there for many, many, many years. And we always had a big time. We'd talk every Monday morning. Ken and I would talk for 40 miles apart. We used to like to play golf at least once a week somewhere, meet in here, Perryton, or in Liberal, or we'd go to maybe the Canadian or Liberal or somewhere and golf. Garden City, we'd kind of like to travel and just get away. But I know many Monday mornings we would talk, and I'd say, Ken, man, service is going kind of young, starting out as pastors and all in 1982. And I'd call him and say, man, Ken, the attendance was down. Offerings were horrible. I don't think I can keep this up, man. Times are tough. It's difficult. And he said, hey, brother, man, the anointing's on you. The call of God's there. He put you there. Hang in there. Be strong. And I said, yeah, you're right. He may pray with me or whatever. And the next Monday, I'd always laugh because I'd call him and he'd say, man, church is terrible today. Hardly anybody here. We had no money. Come in. I said, oh, Ken, hang in there, buddy. let's go. And I start. And one day I laughed. I said, Ken, you know what? If you and I ever get on the same page, we're sunk. If one has a bad service and the other has one too, it's over. we were each other's encouragers, and always, man, we always made each other laugh, and we had a great time. And goodness gracious, and the worship team was great, and it was good. And we had services on Friday night, and then Saturday ended up almost all day. Saturday started at 10 in the morning and had morning sessions, and then Saturday evening was big, and then Sunday morning they made the entire sanctuary into running tables and chairs and kind of set it up banquet style, and we had church and then ate together and then went on into the afternoon on Sunday, and that was Super Bowl Sunday, so we dispersed in time for that, help us all. And it was so good. And I mean friends that we hadn't seen in 35 years came in that were really strong in the church way back in the day. And of course, so many, we've been here so long, but so many of the ones that brought us in here, it's just Kathy, my wife was actually 20 years old when we moved here and took the church. And I had just turned 25. And I remember the first Sunday we came to the church, she went to the adult Sunday school class. And I'm telling you, she looked like a child. She sat there, and some lady turned and touched her, an elderly lady. She said, "Sweetheart, the youth meet out in the building back behind the church." And somebody leaned over and said, "Sister Marion, that's our new pastor's wife." she said, "Oh dear Lord." Kathy said, "Man, I felt so small." I went, "Oh, okay. I don't know if that was good or not." But
so anyway, you really did have a child bride, huh?
Absolutely, yeah, yes, it just turned, I surely did. It was really, we went to Rhema. We went the same year to Tulsa to Bible college, and weren't married at the time. And right after Bible school, we got married the summer after we graduated, and have been rolling ever since. And she's been now head of our Christian school at our church for about, I think we started it like 3 years after we came, so 37 years or so. She's been heading up our Christian academy, and an unbelievable job, and still rolling on and growing. So she stayed busy, and I stayed busy, and we just keep rolling. Been pretty fun. So everybody was celebrating, "Here's to the next 40. I said, "Yeah, okay." Yeah.
If the
sounds
Lord
good.
Carries, if the Lord
oh, yeah.
carries.
yeah, absolutely. If I carry.
I think that's a bigger question.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. We'll just keep it going. But you know what? It's just, honestly, though, after all these years, we're experiencing increase right now, probably in a greater measure than we have. I just know it's a sign of where we live. It's a supernatural outpouring. I would call it our last days outpouring that we're experiencing. Like, man, you know, in the last days, you know, of course we've talked about it here on the radio before. There's two last days groups. One says in the last days, perilous times will come and men will be lovers of themselves and all negative. The other one says in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and that group. So there's two groups in the last day you can hook up with: the negative part that turns away from the things of God, which you're seeing like crazy, or the bunch that moves into the things of the Spirit of God. And so we just chose to be involved in that group that said, "Lord, you know, the Spirit of God's being poured out on us right now, and we're open to it. We're accepting everything you have." And boy, people are signing up, and they're hooking up. We're having so many new people that are coming, every groups of people that are just coming, unchurched people not necessarily from church to church. It's just people in the community, you know, that have been here almost since we've been in Perryton, and they've been here 40 years, and they just came. So I laugh and say, "Well, where you been?" We've been you know, we've been here 40 years. What's going on? So, you know what? I can't answer that. Something just moved us to come here today and to hook up with you. It's just, it's really, and maybe some of the people, you know, kind of hurt in church and hurt by the church or in church years ago, and they're just getting restored, coming back in, it's time to renew and get restored and refreshed. And we're seeing so much of that and new people that have just never known the Lord. I just, you know, and that's amazing. You know, it's amazing when people come that no one invited, that no one really went out and knocked on the door and said, hey, come on, you're my friend. Come with me. Be a friend. Go with me to church. Just nobody. And they just show up. Well, why did you come? I don't know. We just felt impressed to come. I don't know. We just thought, you know what? Let's go to church. Yeah, let's go there. And I thought, well, you think that's an accident? Well, probably not. And yeah, it's not. And, no. And man, we're seeing that. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
So yeah. I attended a webinar this week. And it was your friend, old college buddy, Greg Moore.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was doing the webinar.
Right.
And he was talking to all these pastors, and he was encouraging them that it was happening. And they needed to wake up, and they just needed to facilitate that this move. And he told him, don't you ever have a service that you don't give an invitation, because people are wanting in, and they need an invitation every time.
Wow. Oh man. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sometimes you look out there and think, if I gave an invitation for the lost, there's nobody here that doesn't know the Lord. We'd be surprised. Sometimes you get surprised, and I know sometimes we do that, but definitely give some type of invitation. Have prayer teams. And of course, most churches, probably your prayer teams are there. You come to the front, meet with a prayer team. And I was noticing last week we had, at the end of the service, throughout the building, there were five pockets of prayer teams that were praying just randomly out in the congregation with groups that are just praying for each other, laying hands on each other. And I thought, man, you know what? This is great. We fulfill the call of God like that with body ministry, the body of Christ ministering to one another. Man, it's so powerful. I thought, boy, I'm just standing here with nobody to pray for. What kind of deal is this? Everybody's doing the work of the ministry, praying for each other. And I'm laughing and having a ball. And I mean, it was anointed, powerful, you know, I mean, victory coming in those circles. You know, some people just beginning to weep and be touched by the presence of God and just be ministered to, and healing coming in those groups and circles. And so there's some things happening in the church as a whole, not just among the big dogs.
Yeah.
The body coming together saying, God, here I am. Use me in whatever way you can, and absolutely doing it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're hearing reports of this from all over, everywhere.
That's right.
And
right.
I said all the time,
right,
I don't want to miss this move because it's going to be so cool.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we were in Tulsa week before last. And got to go hear Mario Murillo at a meeting there with a group of ministers, and about 600 ministries were there. And oh my goodness, I'd love to go to meetings, and that's one of our favorite things, to travel and go hear guys speak and go to different conferences and meetings. And that was without a doubt one of the most anointed, powerful meetings I've ever been involved in. And he even basically said the same thing, talking about, man, guys, something's happening in this room. Something's happening with you guys in this hour. There's a freshness. There's an anointing that I've not experienced. Things are happening I've never seen in all my many years of ministry. I'm telling you guys, it's here. It is here. I'm telling you, it's here. Ride the wave. Let's go. Hook up. get after it. God's doing some powerful things right now. And you know, that anointing there that night just lit that place up. And the spirit of worship hit that place, and people began to worship God and praise God, just supernaturally just turned the whole place into a roar of victory and a roar of praise unto God. But that's what's happening. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I always tell our people, you know, people say, I wish I'd have been around when the Apostle Paul was here. Got to see the miracles of Jesus in person. I said, well, that'd be cool, but you wouldn't be here now. And believe it or not, he saved the best for last. And
that's right.
You. They go, what? That's exactly right. They say, well, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to see Abraham, and I can't wait to see David and talk to him. I said, oh, you won't have to look them up. They'll be waiting there to see you.
Yeah.
They'll go, what? I said, that's right. The Bible said those guys long to live in the day that you're living in.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to do so. They left early. They're wanting to be a part of what's happening today. And when you get there, they're going to ask you, you'll say, what was it like to be there, Abraham? No. He'll say, what was it like to be there when the Holy Spirit was poured out? And, you know, and the move of God, the great awakening was happening in your generation. What was it like? And I thought the other day, I want to have something to tell them. Well, I was busy. I couldn't really get involved in that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it was about. Man, we saw the glory of God and the power of God in manifestation. We're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And just spend a long time sharing our stories one with the other. That's beautiful.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
That is. You know, I love that idea of what you were saying about how they're going to ask us, hey, what was it like?
Right.
We typically will be like, well, we want to ask them, what was it like?
Right.
So.
Yeah. How was it like to kill that giant, David? And he'll go, that was nothing compared to what you had the capability of doing. Man.
you know, we can laugh about this, but just think, we're sitting here around a little table, talking to hundreds of people,
mm-hmm.
and they did not have that capability. All they had was a mule. And
think
here
about that. Wow.
Here we drove here in our automobiles, and now we're sending this out over the air, and it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, they evangelized the world on a donkey and a ship. And here we are, and they evangelized the known world of that day. Think of our capabilities now with what we've got.
Yep.
Boy, you're right. Man, beautiful.
And when you think about it, you think, how could not everyone have been reached by now? But mm-hmm. there's still people mm-hmm. out there that still have not heard the word.
Yeah, they are.
And the good message.
Absolutely, they are. Right? Yeah. And like we're seeing, they've heard, and it's just now coming to life, becoming active in them. They've known their whole lives. They were, you know, taught in Sunday school, and 40 years later, they're going, man, well, something's coming alive in me, getting a God thing happening on the inside of me. I'm being led toward church. I'm being led toward, you know, the presence of God. This is what is up with this. And that's what's happening. People being shaken. Of course, I know, you know, and I do know troubled times has a tendency to do that. I get it. We're seeing some interesting things in the world right now, in our nation and around the world. And I know people are paying attention, going, hey, I better perk up here. I better start paying more attention to the things of God and to my spiritual life and my encounter with the Lord in this hour, and that's part of it. I know that's happening too, which is great. So it's good.
You know, if you have any kind of Christian background, when we get to times like this, it's got to start pulling on you somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
to remember what grandmama said or granddad said.
Mm-hmm.
This is
absolutely. Absolutely.
What Christ is saying to the church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, he's speaking.
You're right.
And
wow.
You know, maybe this is a time when the ears are open.
Right.
Hearts are open.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And what an expression of God's love that he continues, no matter what, he's continuing to always beckon us and woo us in, that he still loves us, you know.
Oh, boy.
Still trying to bring us into that.
Right. Yeah, we've been talking about we've been teaching on the subject of the favor of God. We entitled it Walking in the Fog, which is the favor of God. And I was, we're teaching a lot of it from Luke 4:18, when Jesus went to the synagogue and stood up to read. They brought him the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and he began to read concerning himself. And listen to this from the Amplified. And this is really what we're seeing right now happening. It said, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, and forgiveness to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and I love this one, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God, and this was what just got my church ripping, where the favor of God profusely abounds.
Mm-hmm.
we have been ripping that. I said, so we're just milking that word profusely. It just means an overflow, an abundance of, just waves of profusely. Everybody's saying, I'm profusely blessed. I'm profusely favored. And we're laughing and having a good time with the word profusely. I'm having a profusely good morning. I mean, you know, everything now around our church and places profusely. We're all having a good time with it. But think about that. I mean, those are the things he said he came to do, which is what we're seeing happen. Everything that he said he was. He said, I preach good news to the poor. And I love that, because good news to the poor. You know, somebody said, well, we were so poor. We weren't poor. We were po. You know, so but he came so that you wouldn't have to be po no more. And I love that. Wouldn't have to be poor anymore. And he sent me, he was sent to announce the release, pardon and forgiveness. Think of the people today that just are sitting today under a barrage of shame, barrage of guilt, and just sorrow and grief over their past, things that they were dealt with. I mean, broken homes and abuses and damage they've caused in people's lives, or damage that was caused in their lives. We're just, you know, we hear more of abuse today than we ever have in our lifetime, haven't we? Verbal or sexual, the word abuse is just rampant. Everybody has experienced it, and everybody's getting ministry for that. You know it? And more than ever before. And I thought, Lord, where's this been? Well, it's an onslaught of hell. He's the abuser, the accuser, you know, and Jesus said, he sent me to announce a release or pardon and forgiveness to the captives, a recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy. Well, that, you know, somewhere, all of us can probably identify with that somewhere in our life in some time past, or even now. People are sitting there listening tonight and say, man, that's me right now. Well, hey, then good news has come to you. You're at the right time, at the right place, tuned into the right station. Because Jesus said, I have come for this purpose, to set you free from that oppression, from you're all downtrodden and bruised and beat up and crushed by life and tragedy. This is your day of liberty. When the day of salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound over your life right now. And that's what we're decreeing over our church and over the people ministering to us and in our ministry outreaches. That's our declaration. It's all about Jesus. It's just all about Jesus.
That's right.
And what he's done. Just preach Jesus. Preach the gospel. and see what Jesus does. That's what we're seeing happen.
And, you know, as you were talking about people having that shame and that condemnation, and it reminded me of the message this morning, talking about that, what it says in John 3:17, that God did not come into the, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it.
Yeah.
And
well, that's kind of a hidden verse, isn't it? We go to 16 and just stop and go, that's a great word right there. Everybody knows John 3:16. Hey, how about 17?
That's right.
Man, we need that just as much.
And so when you think about that condemnation and that shame when it comes on, that's not from God. Because because of that scripture right there, it says it doesn't come from him. Yeah. Doesn't come.
Right.
And so if it's not coming from him, then who's it coming from to keep you from living that profusely, that life of profusely in
profuse
all areas?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's right. Absolutely. Ooh, man. Oh. It's getting more and more exciting all the time. I just encourage the listener, hey, get in it, jump in it. I'll tell you right now, it's happening for you right now. Everything he did was for you, and it's happening today to be a part of it somehow. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We were talking about it last week, the glory train. It's time to jump on the glory train.
Right.
It's time to jump up. It's time to jump on now. You know, it really struck a chord with me when you said earlier there's two types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people that are living in the negative, in the, you know. The,
right.
And then you have those that are living in the spirit and pouring out of the spirit. And I know that, but when you said that, it just kind of was like, that's it. Which one are you going to choose? It's either one or the other. And and which one are you going to choose to be?
Yeah. So you know, the perilous times are coming regardless. So you can handle them being overwhelmed by the perilous times, or you can handle them in the spirit of God where the perilous times won't overcome you.
Yeah.
So you can be overcome by the perilous time, or you can let this presence of God take your life over, and you will overcome in those perilous times. So, I choose to be the overcomer in the trouble and not be overcome by the trouble.
That's right.
So that's the decisions we have to make right there.
Profusely.
Profusely.
You know, here's the deal. But every generation faces certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Every generation from the time of creation. And it just so happens, I believe, that our generation is the one that's going to see the end of the age, end of times.
Right.
And
yep.
And some of those things are going to be, I believe, very difficult to deal with. And especially if you're not hooked up with Jesus, it's going to be very difficult to face some things and to live through some things and not become a questioner of God.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can't even imagine trying to live through this without him. Well, I won't do that. I won't even try to imagine that. That's so overwhelming. I think of living in that perilous time and the things we're facing in this world right now, in this present evil system, this present evil world, without an understanding of where we live, not understanding that in the midst of all of that, we know we win. And we're talking about the kingdom. I said, look, church, you weren't today. You know, I said, you didn't join a church, you joined a kingdom. You know, a kingdom that's not of this world, a kingdom, we're in the world, but not of it. It's a kingdom we operate differently than this world system. We operate in a love system. We operate in a forgiving system, in a giving system, you know, even giving. I said, you know, we're here at church this morning because we're kingdom people, not just to gain some trickery favor with God. We're here this morning at church because we're honoring the King of the kingdom. I said, we're all about the kingdom. And that's why he said, seek first that kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness is the foundation of his kingdom, that right standing with God through Jesus Christ, not of your own doing, but by faith in Christ. Your foundation is solid in right standing in that kingdom where you have an assurance that you belong, that you're a part of that kingdom, governed by kingdom rule, kingdom authority, kingdom principles, and not living, you know, just looking at the world, shaking your head, you know, bless your heart. Man, my heart goes out to them. I mean, I don't want to have pity on them. I want to have compassion, because compassion moves you. Pity will just shake your head and go, well, too bad. But compassion is what we're in the church. We're needing to reach out into those dark places where people are floundering and dying, overwhelmed by this world and its evil and its system, and say, hey, there's a better way. Man, there's a kingdom that's not of this world. And I'm inviting you to come and be a part of it and be bold in this last day. And I'll tell you right now, people are responding to that word. They're responding to that cry to come out of that evil regime and into this beautiful kingdom of this, he said, the kingdom of God's dear son. And that's what we're part of in this hour.
Don't you think that part of the problem in all this is that we put so much emphasis on you come to our church, you be a part of our church.
Oh yeah.
And,
oh wow.
And so
we're
cutting out the kingdom, and we're making it about,
that's right,
about us.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're exactly right. I'm telling you, you're exactly right. Man. Yeah, we've got too much churchianity, you know, not enough Christianity to work. Religiosity and churchianity, we call it.
Yeah. Well, and, I've heard it Christianese.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, there's a, when we get that, sometimes there's a pride that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really a killer. And I think that may have been what happened to our charismatic movement.
Yeah.
It became more about me and my little group. What is it? Me and my son, my wife and my son, us three and no more, or something like that.
Yeah, me and my four and no more.
Yeah,
you know,
me and my four and no more.
And
it's become more about that than what it is the people on the outside. And,
right.
And
exactly right. Oh.
And one thing that I liked, and I'm really hearing a lot of, is it's really about other people other than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we get that word through to our people, and the whole thing changes. Yeah, you don't have to worry about people coming to your church or coming into the doors where you worship if you're simply fulfilling, you know, the gospel, you know, Jesus, not preaching your church, but preaching him in the marketplace and to those you're working with elbow to elbow every day. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah, they'll be, you know, a gravitational pull to where you are and where you got it.
Yeah.
And why are you so different? Where do you get this joy? Why are you so happy when others are sad? You seem so up when everybody else is down. What's going on in you? You know, and the greatest people say, well, I don't witness much because I don't know a lot of Bible and I don't know a lot of verses. I'm kind of new. I've been kind of lazy with scripture memorization is concerned. Hey, the greatest message you have is not chapter and verse, but you know, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Wow. You know, let me tell you, you know, that song out now so big. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what he did in our lives.
That's right.
He saved our family, you know, brought us out of all kinds of mess and yeah. Restored us and put the love of God in us like we've never imagined in our entire lifetime. Our kids are in it. Our teenagers are, are flowing with it. It's just, it's turned our family around and just totally changed our lives for the better. And that's just what this kingdom is.
That's right.
Well, I have a little testimony.
Please give it.
I will. My little granddaughter, 7 years old, got saved last Sunday.
Wow, that is awesome.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a testimony. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, that's exciting for us.
Good
night. So, that's so cool.
And not only her, but I think seven other kids or six other kids at the same time went forward.
Mm.
Some of them were teenagers, so.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh,
now, was this at church or did they have a special?
I don't know for sure what it was. I think it was at church.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
So.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for sharing that.
A little different church than ours, but you know what? God moving wherever he can move.
That's exactly right.
If you're not saved.
That's right.
Saved is saved. Saved is saved.
Yeah. Yeah. We sometimes we think, well, we're in the middle of the move of God. It's right here, and we're the only ones that's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He said all flesh, didn't he? Pouring my spirit out on all flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're flesh, then you're a candidate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you gotta do is say yes.
Yeah.
You know.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah. He didn't say the Baptists, Methodists, or Presbyterians or whoever. He said on all flesh.
Yeah.
Spirit of God's being poured out on right now. So jump in.
And you know what? It may not always look the same.
Right. Right.
And that's another thing we've got to remember and we've got to get around actually, I have another little deal, a story. But my cousin died of COVID the other day. And I saw his brother today, and I was talking to him a little bit. I've been out of circulation, and so I was talking to him, and we talked about that. And he said, you know, called his name. He said he got baptized about a year ago.
You didn't know about it? Did you not know about it?
No, I didn't know about it.
Wow.
That's really something.
That is something.
Yeah.
And I liked what you said, that it doesn't always look the same. Or, you know, because I think we oftentimes, and that goes back to self, we think it's supposed to look this certain way. And when it doesn't, then it's not real or it's not true. But that's not the case. Right. That all goes back to us again.
Yeah.
And you know, mm-hmm. how we see things. But no, that's not how God is. It doesn't look the same for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
hey, he's got to deal with all of us. So, and he does. And when I say deal, I'm not talking about in a harsh way. I'm talking about he's pouring out his love on every one of us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so... We just need to recognize that in our fellows.
Yep.
Well, and it's like every one of us, we receive love in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And that's why we have the five love languages for married couples, because not everybody says love in the same way. But God knows what that love language is. And God knows what it's going to take to love on you and to bring you into that. And it doesn't look the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, I was having a little heart to heart with Jesus the other night, and I just told him, I said, you know, Lord, I love you, but I don't really know how to tell you how I feel that, because I really don't feel it. But I love you so much for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, it's not like a relationship that I would have, like a physical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to pondering that, and I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, this goes way past my ability.
That's right.
To reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I was trying to reason it out. And he and I had the best little talk about some of those things.
Yeah, I've had those talks. I know that talk.
Those are good talks, aren't they?
Yeah. They are good talks. Yeah. Boy, they're good talks.
Yeah, you know, I love that song, and I can't ever think of the name of it, but there's a little, starts out one of the little verses with, I love your voice.
Mm, yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think I love your voice. You have led me through the fire.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what?
The goodness of God.
The goodness of God. Whew, what a great, great, great song.
But every time I hear that, I love your voice. You've led me through the fire.
Yeah.
There's something just goes off on the inside of me.
Yeah, right.
And it's not something that caused me great excitement. It's something that's very humbling in my heart.
Right.
And I nearly want to cry every time I hear that song. Mm-hmm. We were listening to the radio this morning when we were coming over from Oklahoma City, and it came on, and
I thought, wow.
Oh man, that's the song. That's going to say that here in a minute.
And it was just,
it just blessed me.
That was kind of became kind of the theme song of our 40 year celebration the other day, because it was just said, all my life you have been faithful.
Yeah.
All my life you have been so good.
Good. Yes.
Oh my goodness. With every breath that I am there, I will sing of the goodness of God. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
powerful.
That's so
man,
true.
I tell you what, Marlon, if we can ever get a hold of that, how good he is. And how he wants us to walk with him and
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
God's right. Not mad at us anymore.
That's exactly right. Wow. Yeah. Tell him this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, talking about some of the great things he said in there. It is by his grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not by your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me tear up right here. Just, man.
It's, I'm with you. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's just overwhelming. It, just to see... Just to see the love of God in operation right now. And it's always been there. You know, it's always been there. It's just been now just such an emphasis on the love of God. I mean, that his love, you know, again, I always say one of the greatest revelations that had turned my life around a number of years ago when in 1 John, when he said, herein is love, not that we love God. And that threw me back so bad that I thought, well, wait a minute. Not that we love God, but I mean, we're commanded to love God. You know, love God, love God, love God. But he said, no, if you love God, you'd be in church more. If you love God, you'd pray more, give more. If you really love God and then get real pharisaical like I do, you know, you'd witness and you'd do all these things that I'm doing. But he didn't say that. He said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And that's the gospel. Wow. We know, he said in Romans 8, he said, we've been made overcomers through him who loved us. And everything, like perfect love casts out fear. That's not our love for one another as has been taught. It's his love for me. He is the only one with perfect love, and his perfect love for me, that's what removes all fear out of my life. When good things, great things, wonderful things will happen to those who get a revelation of how much God through Christ loves them. Man, will never not love you. Nothing you can do to make him love you more. Nothing you can do to make him love you less. He's set his love upon you, and it is constant and it's fervent. It's always red hot. even in your mistakes, even in your failings, his love is just so constant and never, ever changing. And that is, believe me, very, very life altering right there.
So when I was having my little heart to heart with Jesus, I started having all these thoughts running through my mind. And these thoughts were, what about the time you did this? What about the time you did that?
Oh, wow.
And it was like, I believe it was the Lord doing that. And I was going, no, those things come up short. There's nothing I can do. And when I got through with all that, I go, Lord, I've taken into consideration all these things that have gone through my mind. I've taken them into consideration. And it's not about any one of those things. It's about how much you love me.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's
I love it. How you said you took into consideration, because we have to consider. We consider that love of God, and we have to think about those things, because we forget easily, you know. And I'm reminded of, I was going through a period of time, and I felt like God had woke me up in the middle of the night, and He wanted me to make a list of everything that I could remember. I felt like in my spirit, this is what I should do, and remember everything that God had done for me. And so I just started, and I, every little thing I could think of, and I know I miss some things because we so easily forget. But as I started filling out that page, that overwhelming sense of God's love just overtook me. And it's that consideration. It's continuing to consider what God has done and continue to meditate on those things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the deal. Being convinced, receiving it as just divine revelation. The guy that said, you know, what's the greatest thing you learned in your life in 50 years of ministry? He said, Jesus loves me. This I know. And they went, oh my goodness, that's all you got? Out of 50 years of ministry all over the world, speaking to millions of people, that's all you got? Jesus loves me? He said, no. What I got was, this I know. He said, that's what I got. And that's where the, you know, that's the dividing point. Yeah. And he loves me, because we hear that all the time. Hey, God loves you, man. God loves you. No, but when you know it, yeah. Yes, he
does.
I know that he does. Right? I know he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. No, I know we say that, but he couldn't love me because look what I've done. No, I know that he does in spite of what I've done. Oh, he's a good God.
You know, for the long time, I've heard a lot of preachers, and they talk about how the opposite of faith, or the enemy of faith, is fear.
Okay.
And Aaron was our pastor was talking this morning about love, and he brought out some scriptures that really the opposite of fear is love. Faith. Perfect love casts out fear.
Right? That's so good. That's just, yeah, that's what we were sharing a while ago. It's so, yeah, perfect love. What is perfect love? It has to be His love for me.
His love for me.
And when I know that it's there, all my fears scatter.
Yeah.
There's nothing can stand in the knowledge of the love of God. That's why the enemy so strives and works so double hard over time to try to convince you that God does not love you. No way He could love you. And I've had so many people over the years tell me that, you know, well, what's the problem, man? Don't you love God? They'll say things like, well, you know, I really do. My problem is I know no way He could love me back. God could not love me. Even though I could, you know, I know what Jesus did for me on the cross. I know He gave His life for me. I know He, you know, but, and I love Him for that.
Don't you think it's because we,
love me.
That we have that because we can't love like that. we can't love the way God loves, and so it's harder for us to comprehend that kind of love for us, because we don't necessarily, I mean, we can love our kids and we love, you know, we love people well, but it's still not the same, and it's an imperfect love, and so it's hard for us to comprehend and conceive that.
Right.
At least I think.
Well, that was a good revelation to you in coming into the gospel of grace now a number of years ago when I heard someone say, you know, cause people in my, back in my old Pentecostal church days, people would always stand in testimony service and say, I want to stand and declare that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. Until I heard one of the, I don't remember who it was, said, you know what? No, you don't. Nobody's ever done that. No human being has ever fulfilled that verse. You can't. Nobody's ever loved the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't. Therefore, because of that, God had to love you with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind.
Yeah.
And then when you understood how much he loved you, now you in turn can return that love. That's why John said, we love him. Yeah, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us.
Yes.
We get it. Wow. The overwhelming love of God. But love me first, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. God. That's, oh, well, I'm about to preach. That's the love of God, man.
Guys, I love this scripture. It says, for God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's Romans 8:32, something like that.
Yeah, in the Passion Translation.
Oh, think about it. All that says, his paraphrase is, if he gave you Jesus, he'll give you anything.
Yeah.
His most treasured gift.
Yeah. Yeah, anything he gives you.
It proves his love. It proves his love.
He could drop $1 million in your lap tomorrow, and it's less than what he gave you in Christ.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. But if he gave you Jesus, just think. You say, well, he wouldn't do that for me. But he gave you Jesus. If he'll do that for you, he'll give you anything.
Yeah.
That's a faith-building thing right there. Strong.
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy. We're about to wind down, guys.
We're about out of time. I'll tell you what, when we get you on here, Marlon, it goes in a hurry for some reason.
I'll tell you right now, it goes fast.
Yeah, it
just
does.
I look down and, what? Oh, man. Oh, well, there it is.
Sometimes we have guests that 1 hour seems like four. But with you, 1 hour just seems like it flies.
Yeah, it's fun. Oh, brother. All good, guys. It's been another great time. Love it.
Yes, it has. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, we do. We always
being on.
I love to have you.
I always get excited. I always start making phone calls about 6 o'clock. All right, program's coming on. People around the church and around town. I'll put it on Facebook. Gonna be on here in a few minutes. Get on.
All right.
Oh, brother. That's fun.
Well, this has been Sunday Night Live, and we're going to be gone for a week, and we'll be back. So good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Johnny's on the move.